The radio show for people who know the best part of the day is the night.
Late Night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Hello, this is Friday show. What is it? Show 20.
Are you making these numbers up now?
No, I'm counting. It's for the end of week four, five shows a week, show 20.
All right, clever.
It's proper, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I've got no vibe for the show. Oh, Tommy James will be on the show. Tommy James, who he? Well, Tommy James of Tommy James and the Shondells. Who they? They only had two hits in the UK, Money Money and I Think We're Alone Now, both of which he co-wrote. But in the States, they were huge. And his story is brilliant. Why do you get these people on? Because I really like them. I'm on Twitter and I think you're just getting anybody you can get. Did you see that?
Yeah. Blocked. We haven't got him on, though, have we?
Blocked. Everybody we've had on is because I love them and I've read a book of theirs or I've got their CDs or their albums or whatever. Tommy James's story is flipping. It's brilliant. And I hope I'm not overselling it because I've been bigging him up to you.
I don't think you can oversell something like that.
Honestly, the story is... So, it'll be in this podcast, as will some calls. So, enjoy.
Talk Radio. Talk and entertainment across the nation.
Talk Radio.
Give it some lift.
Good evening, dear listener. 10:30, we've got Tommy James. Where is he? He's in New York City. New York. Chicago. Utah Saints. Why is that reminding me of? Suddenly I've done a Utah Saints. Who were the Utah... Who's this online one? This isn't him, is it? Who are you? Hello?
Oh, me?
Yes.
Hey, up, it's Smudge, how you doing?
Why? It's me. Good evening, Smudge. Not Smudge for a long, long time. Why does...
It's been a while, hasn't it?
Yeah, why does me raising both of my arms and punching the air in a rhythmic fashion and chanting, Utah Saints, Utah Saints, why is that bringing back a flashback of?
It's bringing back a flashback of that time that you went to that concert featuring the Utah Saints.
Flipping it, you're absolutely right. The Utah Saints played a summer ball at my college, and I remember getting very tipsy on beer in those plastic glasses, and Utah Saints. And I remember they had big lights that were flashing in the audience, and I'm there. Isn't that funny?
Utah Saints.
Utah Saints. But it was a bit far. For some reason, we were a little bit. It was a bit speedier than that. It was Utah Saints. Utah Saints. Utah. I don't even know. I didn't know then, and I don't know to this day. And it's probably 22 years to the day. I do not know who or what the Utah Saints were.
They were a band, weren't they? You were at a concert, you silly sausage.
But what was... They were like dancey, though, weren't they?
Yeah, they were fun.
Yeah, they were fun.
Yeah, that's what the 90s were, mate. They were fun.
No, they weren't. And as I was discussing to... let's have a reminiscence. When I was talking to Johnny and Ash before me, and have you heard their show?
Who?
The guys that are on before me, they're good.
I'll give them a listen. I'm new to this channel. I don't know where the hell have you been, Ian?
So when we were... the 90s for me was being...
Hello,
can you hear me?
Where have you been? You didn't answer my question.
I'm answering it, but the long way round.
Okay.
The 90s to me was primarily being ignored by girls, feeling miserable and staring at those 3D posters hoping to see a dolphin that all of my friends were able to see. And I couldn't see it. And
I'd Magic see Eye.
It. The Magic Eye, was it? The Magic Eye. The bloke would sell them for like £5 down in the subway. And I would stare it in some horrible student digs and I go, I can't see it. And they go, no, it's a dolphin. Look, it's a once you see it, you can't not see it. I go, I can't see it. It's just all jumbled lines. Where are those pictures now? They've been banned by the government. They were banned along with all legal highs.
So where have you been since the 90s then, Ian?
I'm getting up to that. The late 90s. People think I'm a 90s... I'm going to use a word that I don't normally use to describe myself. A 90s comedian. Yes, I was doing stand-up comedy in the 90s. But I didn't get on telly until... Here's a funny thing. Shall I tell you a story, Smudge?
And well, you're clearly telling me a story already, mate.
I know, but I'm going to tell you a sub-story.
Go for it.
So when my big television break was on, I don't know the exact date, it was something like, the 11 o'clock show first went out on something like I've ruined the story already. I've ruined the story. Forget that bit, right? So, in 1998, I started going out with a girl, right? Very, really nice girl called Tessa. I went out there for a long time.
Utah Saints! Utah Saints!
And when we started going out on New Year's Eve, right, New Year's Day, and when we within the first week, she had my diary, right, and this was when I was a struggling stand-up, I was signing on and stuff.
Oh.
And she wrote in my diary, Saturday, September the 19th.
Why did she write in your diary then?
You're going to be famous, rich and cool, right? The 11 o'clock, and I hadn't got a sniff of work or anything then. The 11 o'clock show started the Tuesday of that following week. Boom!
That's unbelievable. And she could see the future, that woman. How come you didn't stick with her?
Because she could tell we were going to split up. Huh?
Oh,
but you see, and you get people telling me that Jesus doesn't exist and that people can't see the future. Well, I give you that evidence. I give
this
you that
is
evidence.
The roller coaster ride of a story you're telling here, Ian.
Yeah, I'm
on the edge of my seat.
I've finished it now, so I'd get back on your seat.
I'm back on my seat.
Some people think that you're Rob Bernay. Is that correct?
No.
Okay, what have you got for us?
Right, okay, you were talking about the people with voices that are really deep.
We down, we on down, we on down.
That is pretty deep.
Yeah, that's as deep as Elvis is. Even Elvis can't go that deep. He has to get, and Elvis liked to go deep. Sorry, Tom Jones. But even Elvis can't get that deep. He has to get another man to go deep.
Well, the person that I've phoned up to tell you about is Robin Starstead.
Is that Peter Starstead's brother?
I think it was his brother.
Yeah, he did have a brother. Hang on a second. Can I just... Hang on. Hang on. Here we go.
Down, way on.
Way on down.
Let's join in with that guy, because I think we can do that. Here we go.
Way on down.
No. He does a hot note. He does a higher one, and then he goes deep.
Down.
Are you ready? Here we go.
Way on down.
You're not doing it. Now you're not doing it.
it's difficult, Utah Saints. I can do Utah
Saints. Right, here we go. Last one.
Way on down, way on down.
I'm going to get Tommy James to do that. Imagine
that's fantastic. Anyway, listen, Robin Starstead and his song My Resistance Is Low. Have you heard that song?
My Resistance Is Low.
I've got it here.
Go on, let's have it here. Beautiful.
So it's a bit
Chinesey to start with. Now it's got a bit Chaplin. Oh, I know this song. Where does it get low?
Right, okay, right at the end. I will take you to the end. You know, what is it?
Oh, flipping it.
Baby, keep your distance with the capital O.
Here we go.
There we go.
Be persistent. Baby, keep your distance. You know my resistance is low.
He went low there.
No, he didn't.
Anyway,
the lowest he went is
my distance. You know my resistance is. Keep your resistance.
That's high.
No.
He didn't say it. He didn't say it.
He did.
Let me do it on my end. What's it called? Peter Sardstedt. Oh, flipping it. You're doing that.
He said low.
No, I'm not having that. I'm cutting you off, Smudge.
Goodbye.
There we go. I'm having that.
Talk Radio. Talk and entertainment across the nation.
Talk Radio.
Give it some lift.
Snow and rain and the bright sunshine.
I'm talking about peace of mind. I'm going
I need now to complete the portfolio is a late night Saturday music show where I get to play whatever I want, because it would just be this kind of stuff the whole time. Now, you, dear listener, probably don't know this song, and it's, well, kind of shame on you, but there's also a good reason why the next guest was not the huge success in the UK that he was in the States. I'm thrilled, absolutely thrilled to say, Mr. Tommy James is on the line from the United States. Good evening, good afternoon, Tommy.
Well, hello. Thank you so much.
Man, I'm so thrilled to talk to you. I love you. I've loved you for quite a while now, and I've read
your... Well, thank you. It's great to talk with you, too. It really is.
Man, listen, your story is amazing. You've written your book, and we're going to get the plug-in for the book at some point, so don't worry about that. But your story is absolutely amazing. The first question, Tommy, why weren't you a bigger star in the UK?
Well, you know, the bottom line happened in 1968. We were supposed to appear after Moni Moni went so big in England. We were supposed to be on Top of the Pops. And we were called by Vice President Humphrey, who was running for president at that time, and asked if we would, play at his campaign rallies.
Yeah.
And we didn't quite know what to say. We finally said yes. And as a result, we had to cancel our trip to England that we were really looking forward to. We canceled our trip to England and did the presidential campaign. And as a result, they got pretty upset with us over there. And some people at the BBC decided that they weren't going to play any more of our records. So the next... Oh, Crimson and Clover and Crystal Blue Persuasion and Sweet Cherry Wine and Dragon Lion. The rest, the other 8 or 10 chart records over here in the States never got played over in England. So that's really what happened.
Man, listen, I've also been blackballed by the BBC. I know what it...
It's easy to do.
It's really... They're very, very easily offended.
I don't blame them for being upset. They were upset with us for not coming over and doing our tour.
But so, I mean, the songs, the big songs that people in this country will probably know you for are Moni Moni and I Think We're Alone Now. But you had like dozens of hits in the States, didn't you? How did it all... It started when you were a kid, didn't it? How did it all start?
Sure. Well, we ended up with 23 gold singles.
Wow.
And 9 gold and platinum albums. We had a nice run, and we're still running. I mean, we're doing a new album right now.
Oh, are you?
As a matter of fact. Yes, we are. We're in the studio doing a brand new album called Acoustatronics.
I like it.
And it's going to be released worldwide by the end of the year.
Oh, mate, well, when it comes out, we'll get you back on and we'll plug it like crazy. Of course we will.
Sure. Well, thank you.
Because I know that when you were writing in the 60s, and I hope you don't mind me saying this, but you've mentioned it in the book. There were a lot of drugs going around, weren't there? And it seems that you kind of got caught up in that kind of drug culture a little bit.
Well, we did our share. There's no doubt about it.
I think you did somebody else's share as well, Tommy, if I've read it properly.
Well, you know something. We did our share. The 60s were the 60s, and we had a good time. My world was wiggling pretty good in the 60s, actually.
How do you do it now? How do you? Because I know that you're clean and all of that, and that's fantastic. How do you find the motivation or maybe it's even easier now that you're straight?
Sure. Well, you know something. This is my 30th year of sobriety, so
good for you. Well done.
We don't have much trouble with it anymore. But the bottom line was that I was, when I got sober in 1986. When I say sober, I was popping pills and drinking booze and partying pretty good. And I actually went to the Betty Ford Center in California.
Yeah.
And that was 30 years ago. So right now I feel I can't imagine ever going back to that again. I just can't imagine that kind of a life again. First of all, they'd probably find me under a trestle somewhere if I ever did that stuff again. None of us would survive. And the people who are in rock and roll right now basically either are gone or went through rehab. And that really, unfortunately, is the truth.
Well, you're right. You're right. We look on the 60s fondly as being a massive psychedelic age when everyone was discovering drugs. But for a lot of those people, they didn't get clean. And the 70s got into the very dirty drugs and it killed them. So it's amazing to see people like you and other kind of people who have survived what killed a lot of your peers.
Well, I thank the good Lord and, basically a lot of hard work. That really is what it boils down to.
Let's talk about Maurice Levy.
Sure.
He was the guy. Your book, honestly, I read a lot of autobiographies and music autobiographies, Tommy, and your book is one of the most outstanding stories I have ever read.
Thank you so much.
Well, I mean, you lived it, man. So
the problem is that it's true.
No.
You know, what basically the book is about, it's an autobiography with about two-thirds of it devoted to our very crazy and tumultuous relationship with Roulette Records, the label that we had the bulk of our hits on. And Maurice Levy, who was the head of the company, and the reason it was so tumultuous and scary at times is because, unbeknownst to us when we signed our first contract, Roulette Records was a front for the Genovese crime family in New York.
Mafia family.
Absolutely. That made life real interesting for us. And, of course, the gist of the story is, you know, here we were trying to have a career in rock and roll with this very dark and sinister story going on behind us that we couldn't talk about.
And it's the funny thing, because your music is, for the most part, is so joyous. And you're right that there is this darkness that is
true.
Running
that's,
on behind.
You're quite right. Our music is so different from the kind of, story that was going on behind us. And, for years and years, I wanted to tell this story because, we just couldn't say anything about it while these guys were still walking around. So finally, in about 8 years ago, Martin Fitzpatrick, my co-author, and I actually started putting the book together, where people had been after me for a long time to do it. And when the last of the Roulette regulars, as I called them, passed on, we started the book. And actually, when we had started it, we didn't realize some of them were still alive. And so we got about a third of the way into the book and realized that we really probably shouldn't be doing this just yet. And so when the rest of them passed away, we felt we could finish it. So we did, and we finished it, and Simon & Schuster grabbed it and published it immediately. We were very thankful for that, because usually they do presidential bios and stuff, you know. So they published it immediately, and it almost just as fast, we start getting calls for the movie rights and for the Broadway rights. And so a movie is being made of we speak.
Who is playing you? Are you allowed to say?
Yes, indeed. And Barbara DeFina, who produced Goodfellas and Casino and Hugo a couple of years ago with Martin Scorsese.
Yeah, great movies.
Is producing the movie, and Matthew Stone just finished the screenplay.
Oh, man.
So we are, as this thing comes together, I'm getting an amazing education because we've never done this before. And then after the movie, which is going to be in about another 24 months probably, then the Broadway show.
Look at the way my heart is jumping.
In Lee Talk Radio, we're talking to the brilliant Tommy James, formerly of Tommy James and the Shondells. He's still making music. He's written a fantastic autobiography that is a joy to read. There's going to be a movie of it and a musical. Tommy, Maurice Levy, he is a fascinating character. What's really fascinating is your relationship with Maurice Levy. Because you obviously had a lot of affection for the man, even though he ripped you off out of millions of dollars. There was a lot of love between you two.
That's quite true. You know, I always try to put it in perspective because every time I'm just about to say something really nasty about Morris and Roulette Records, I got to remember that if it wasn't for Maurice Levy, there wouldn't have been a Tommy James.
Yeah.
And that's the truth. And so I got to give the devil his due on that one.
Millions of dollars down because of him, even after all that, you still, and the book is full of respect for him.
Well, you know something, I learned a lot from Maurice. As crooked as he was and as crazy as the whole situation was, you know, Maurice was most certainly a thug, there's no doubt about it, but he was right out of the movies.
Yeah.
With the big voice like this, you know. And hands that were about the size of catcher's mitts, you know, when he grabbed your hand. He was about 240 pounds, about 6'4", and right out of the gangster movies. And, you know, people were genuinely afraid of him. But the strange part was Morris was Jewish, so it wasn't like he was a made mafia man.
Yeah.
And yet all these mob guys would hang out at Roulette Records from the Genovese family as if his office was a social club. So it really was amazing. We'd meet somebody in Morris's office and shake hands with him, and you know, a week later we'd see him on TV being taken out of a warehouse in New Jersey, you know, in handcuffs. You know, say, isn't that the guy we just met at Morris's office? And it was, and you know, that's how we started realizing who we were involved with.
And there was a great bit in the book where someone in the family, the mafia family, gets killed. And you all have to go into hiding. That is genuinely terrifying.
Well, there was a mob war in 1971, and Morris was on the wrong side. And so I was called in my attorney's office, who from time to time would sit these guys down and talk and have meetings, and told me that he thought it would be a good idea. This is back in 1971, it would be a good idea if I left town until this thing blew over, because if they go after Morris and can't get him, because Morris had left for Spain, they're liable to go after whatever's making Morris money, and that's you, he said. So I said, oh, that's great. You mean I'm on the lam? I said, is that what you're telling me? They said it would be a good idea. So I went down and got involved with Elvis's guys, Pete Drake and DJ Fontana and Scotty Moore, and we did an album together while I was down there, and was basically a Nashville album. And that was a crazy 6 months of my life, but as a result, we got an album. So I guess it wasn't a total loss. But anyway, that's the kind of craziness that was going on at Roulette. And then finally, Morris's partner, Tommy Eboli, who was made the head of the family after Vito Genovese died in prison, was killed. Tommy was killed in 72. And that is the point where I said, I got to get out of here. And where Morris and I had a big blowout. And he wasn't going to let me go. It took me another 2 years of not making records before he let me off the label.
When did you start making money? Because I think we're alone now, of course. Huge hit in the 80s with Tiffany, who had a cover version of it, which is a brilliant version. Did you make money off that, or do you not own any of the songs? You did.
The short answer is yes. The bottom line is that when Morris was convicted of racketeering in the late 80s, and he ended up selling the company, both the publishing and the masters, to EMI. At that time, it was EMI. And EMI for the foreign masters, this gets a little complicated.
Yeah.
And the domestic masters went to Warner Brothers through Rhino Records. And then the publishing went to EMI, which has now sold to Sony. So, in other words, reputable people ended up with our entire catalog, and as a result, we started making money. This was about 1988.
Wow.
And so all of the a good chunk of the of what was lost came back. But
which is interesting, because there are a lot of 60s, you know, people that were having hits in the 60s and 70s, they're still not making money on those records. So
you're quite right.
It worked out for you eventually. What are you doing now, Tommy? You mentioned a new album.
Well, we're touring every year. We're touring all over North America. If anybody would like to come to our website, it's just TommyJames.com.
Yep.
And you can see what we're doing, where we're performing. And also, of course, there's the movie we're doing in the middle of right now. And by the way, three of the songs on this new album are going to be in the movie. Three
Beautiful.
Of the new songs.
Yeah.
So they're going to get one of them is this remake of I Think We're Alone Now that's acoustic and slow and so totally different from the original record is going to be the closing credits. And So we're very proud of that, and that's going on this new album. And so, you know, we have our own label, Aura Records, and my goodness, there's just a whole lot of stuff going on. We have our own management company.
You're still enjoying it, obviously, because I imagine you don't need to do this.
I never thought that, you know, we'd be doing this for 50 years. This is the 50th year, believe it or not.
Wow.
And starting out with a record like Hanky Panky, nobody ever thought we would be doing that this long. So, as I say, I thank the good Lord and the fans for the kind of longevity we've had.
It is a brilliant career trajectory. I'm looking at a picture of you now as a young man in front of me. But Hanky Panky, what, you recorded that one, you were 15, 16, something like that? It's a great song.
I was 16 when we did.
It's a great song. Yep. It's not the most sophisticated of lyrics, is it?
Well, there's only six of them. There's only six lyrics and six words in this song. My baby does the hanky-panky. So, no, it is certainly not.
Do you still
it
do that now?
Certainly not.
If I come to a Tommy James show, which one day I would love to, man. But what am I going
to
get?
I'd love to come over to England and play at some point. I really would. We never made it to Britain, and yeah. I would love to come over and do that.
We need to find a way to do it, because there would be an audience for you. I know there would be an audience, and you would be loved, and it would be great to see the English reaction. What can I expect at a Tommy James show?
Well, of course, we do as many of the hits as we can. We probably do. We'll do a you know, 18 or 20 of the hits, and then we sometimes will throw in something new that we're working on. We don't really do anything by anybody else.
Yeah. Well, why would you?
Too much ground to cover, but we're revamping the show a little bit, and the strange part is the show is going to end up being basically the book, where the story of the history of the group. So it's going to be interesting, and we're in the middle of revamping that this year.
It is. There's a lot of 50th anniversaries going on this year. I think it's the 50th anniversary of Good Vibrations. There's the Monkees' 50th
That's
anniversary.
Right.
A lot of people celebrating. And it's amazing that a lot of these acts are still touring. The Monkees are still going. Brian Wilson and then various incarnations of the Beach Boys are still going. You're still going.
Isn't that amazing?
It really is, isn't it?
Can you imagine us in the 60s? That would be the equivalent of having Rudy Valley. In the 60s.
It would have been
like, you know, acts from 1910.
It's exactly the same. And also, you know, I'm a huge Brian Wilson fan. That man should have died several times, you know, throughout the last 40, 50 years, what he did to his body. It's amazing.
Oh, there's a bunch of them.
There's a
bunch of us.
But you've got an advantage against all of them, because you were a kid when you had your first hit, weren't you?
Well, I was very lucky. Yeah, I made it early, and then the record hit right out of high school. So, you know, we actually had recorded the record back in Niles, Michigan, when I was a junior in high school. And the record came out locally, and, you know, it was like a number one in about six square blocks, but we had no distribution, so
yeah.
The record died. And then, out of nowhere, I graduated in 65 and took my band on the road, and we played throughout the Midwest. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Hanky Panky gets bootlegged in the city of Pittsburgh. They sell 80,000 of them in 10 days, and we're sitting at number one.
Wow.
Without me doing anything, just a bootlegged record. And they tracked me down, and, you know, that was a miracle in itself. And I went to Pittsburgh and picked up sort of the first bar band I could find to be the Shondells. I couldn't put the original group back together. And a week later, we're in New York and got a yes from all the record companies. We got Atlantic and RCA and CBS. And so the last place we took the record to was Roulette. And all of a sudden, the next day, and we got a yes from all the big labels. And the next morning, the phone starts ringing, and it's Jerry Wexler from Atlantic saying, listen, we got a pass. I said, what do you mean you got a pass? I thought we had a deal. And he said, no, listen, Morris Levy from Roulette Records called up all the other labels.
Wow.
And scared him. He says, this is my record. Back off. And they all did.
What is amazing?
He scared them all down.
That's
a true story, and that's how we ended up on roulette.
What's amazing, talking to you and reading the book is... You're lucky to be alive in terms of, A, you were popping loads of pills, and I'm so pleased you got clean. It's such a joy to hear.
Oh,
and
B, so many levels I'm lucky. You better believe it.
Well, and also, you know, because you were literally hanging out with gangsters. You're so lucky. And you don't seem bitter about any of it. You seem really at peace with it all.
Well, you know, the bottom line is, well, that's true. And I'm actually very grateful to Roulette Records because Roulette Records... you know, basically made me a star and allowed me the rest of my life to live in comfort and put food on the table. I mean, it's really that simple. Plus the fact that I get to tell the story.
Well, listen, Tommy, when the record comes out, please come on and we'll plug it like crazy. The book is just a joy to read. I've just tweeted the link to it. It's called Me, the Mob and the Music, Tommy James. Hang on, a small bit. One hell of a ride with Tommy James and the Shondells. And it really is... You think you've read
Thank you so much. Honestly, really appreciate you saying that.
You think you've read every 60s or 70s rock star autobiography. You ain't read nothing yet. This story is nuts. And it's your story. Well, Tommy, I'm so glad you're well and alive. And I really hope that you get to come over here at some point.
I hope we get a chance to meet in person. I sure do.
Thank you, Tommy. Nice to talk to you, mate. Take care. Bye-bye.
You take care now.
There we go.
Thank you.
What a delightful gentleman.
Late Night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Rashid?
Yeah.
Good evening, Rashid. Whereabouts are you calling from, mate?
Wagwan, I'm in Stoke.
Wagwan in Stoke, Rashid.
Okay.
Now,
this will be interesting.
Let's start with my one first. The Godfather films, all three of them, considered as a whole work... Is it a classic trilogy, Rashid?
The Godfather, is it classic? Yes, most definitely.
Thank you. But in the interest of fairness, Rashid...
Oh, this is bullshine.
The Matrix movies, the three of them, are they considered a classic trilogy, Rashid?
Me never watch any of them, man. Me never watch one of them Matrix films, you get me? Because me don't like them Matrix films.
Your accent,
I don't like them.
Your accent changed from Asian... to Jamaican.
Where's he going? That's the question.
What can I say?
What have you called in for, Rashid?
I've got two songs, with deep voices. That's what
you
wanted to
know. But the question is, Rashid, have you got a trilogy of songs with low voices?
Well, let me see. Let me get the first two out of the way and I'll think of a third one.
But we're dealing in trilogies right now.
Seb, calm down. Don't listen. Russ, stay there. We're going to come to you. Seb, calm down, okay? Just because you're being destroyed for the second time in front of approximately 67 people listening to this, there's no reason to be upset. Rashid.
There's a lot of people on Periscope agreeing with me, by the way.
Oh, well, we all know that Periscope is for perverts. Rashid.
Yes, mate.
You've got songs with deep voices. There's a nice little breather between in this game. Yes, away you go.
Go on. Okay, first one is blue moon, blue.
That was the first one.
Bravo. flipping it, mate. That was very funny.
You can't get no deeper than that, but second one is...
There was a little bit of freestyling on the words there, but I like that. That was brilliant.
All right.
Nice one, Rashid. Okay, that's
one. I'm sure it's dippy dong ding ba ding ba dong ding blue moon. I'm sure it's that.
Dippy dong ding ba ding ba dong ding.
I'm sure it's that.
Okay, Rashid, go on. What else you got then?
Second one is by the man Johnny Cash, which incidentally was the first ever rap song.
Yeah.
I don't care what anybody says, a white man. Invented rap.
Yeah, go on.
With Big John, Big Bad John.
I know. Now, Catherine, you're putting...
Was that Johnny Cash?
Johnny Cash. He's the first rap artist.
Was that Johnny Cash?
No.
No, it wasn't Johnny
it
Cash.
It was Johnny Cash.
No, it wasn't
Big
Johnny Cash.
Big John, Big Bad John.
It wasn't. It wasn't. Okay, here it is. Oh, right, hang on a minute. Here we go. Shh.
Big John, Every morning at the mine,
he is rough, though.
He stood 6'6" and weighed 245, kind of broad at the shoulder and narrow at the hip. And everybody knew you didn't give no lip to Big John. Big bad.
It is rap. That isn't Johnny Cash, though.
Can I just say, I was never a teenage boy, but I'm getting the feeling that this is what it was like.
Yes, very much so.
Across the UK, online and on DAB. Access all radios.
Talk radio. Give it some lip.
That was it, guys. That was the best of. Spread the word, spread the love. Peace and love, man. Peace and love.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Ba 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 bang ba dang dang ba ticka ticka dong ding ba ding ba dong ding blue moon blue.
That was the first one.